Well, it's Sunday morning and they've given me a microphone. So I'll tell you up front, I won't cuss. Oh, there's a few things I won't do on Friday. I even put a button on for you guys. How's that, huh? It's not just a t-shirt that goes to my knees, you know. This morning when I was getting, or last night, I was kind of looking through some clothes because I've got, my wife organized my closet, so I don't know where anything is. So I picked out this shirt and I put it on, and we have the fashion patrol in my house. Her name is Amy. So I walked in the living room and she was watching her cooking YouTube because the kid loves to cook. So she's watching her newest recipe and she pulls off her earphones and she goes, "That's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen in my life." So if you want to know the truth, just ask a 12-year-old. They will be brutally honest. So I went in there with this shirt on and she goes, "Eh." So that's a yes in my house. "Eh." It wasn't the ugliest shirt she's ever seen, so I'll wear it. So like I said, you guys get a button. So there you go. You got your button today. I even buttoned it. I had it unbuttoned. She says, "Eh." If you're going to wear a button, button it, Dad. So, you know, I believe God's got a great word this morning. I got me a cup of water because, well, you guys make my mouth dry. The title of this message this morning, it's a game-changing question. Because, see, in our walk with Christ, there's some certain things that determine everything. Determines everything in our walk with Christ. So, see, there comes a point when we've been going to church and when we've been teaching Sunday school and when we come cook on Friday nights and when we greet at the door and when we do this and when we do that and when we do and when we do, there comes a certain point where we have to ask ourselves a question. Because it's an eternity question. It's a question that determines everything in perspective. So that question I want you to ask this morning is, have I been born again? Have I been born again? Because in reality, everything else in our walk with Christ boils down to this. Have I been born again? Have you been born again? It's really what everything is based on in our walk with Christ. Because if we haven't been born again, it's hell. Literally. Literally. So this morning, I'm going to read some scriptures and I want to talk about some people, a person in particular who did the right things, and he did this and he did that, and he gave money and he went to church and he read the Bible, he memorized the Bible, and he did all of these things. And then Jesus pretty much turns around and goes, "Dude, you're going to hell, because it's not about what we do and don't do." See, for me, I was a drug addict, I was an alcoholic, I was addicted to porn. I had that lifestyle that was completely against God. So I quit doing all of these things, correct? It still doesn't determine my eternity. So I started going to church. I started preaching. I started going to Celebrate Recovery. I started cooking. I started feeding the hungry. I started giving. But that doesn't determine my eternity. Because I can give everything I've got. But that actually does determine my eternity. Because good things, good deeds will send me straight to hell. Send me straight to hell. So this morning, some of you have been in church longer than I've been alive. So you're like, "Of course I've been born again. I've walked up the aisle 5 times and been baptized 6. Because, see, I said the prayer every chance there was. I got baptized, but I was never born again, and my life was a perfect example of that. Part of Celebrate Recovery, we do testimonies. So I get a lot of written testimonies. And what brought me to this message was a great state of confusion for me. Because I received testimonies, and the testimony says, "At 9, I was saved, but the devil controlled my life until I was 31. And I did what I wanted and lived in blah, 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 blah." See, when I was born again, the devil didn't control my life anymore. Everything inside of me changed because someone came to live in me. So everything changed. So today, I just want you to examine your own life. I'm going to give you a scripture that says that as believers, we're to examine our lives. It's 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, "Examine my wife to see if she..." See, so many times, don't we want to think this message is for the one beside us? This message is for you. So open your heart and your mind and be receptive to what God has to say. Because it's not about your dad that doesn't come to church with you. It's not about your grandma that got offended by the church and quit going. It's about you and Jesus Christ. See, because sometimes we grew up in church under our grandma and under our mom, so we have this thing we think is an inherited faith. Because grandma went to church and prayed over me, I've obviously been saved. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. That's not what the Word says here. The Word says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. So this morning, it's just about you and God. It's not about me and my wife, my kids. It's about me and God this morning. Okay? That's it. So just don't worry about them this morning. Let's get you to heaven first. Then you can start loving them in there. Okay? So let's worry about you this morning. So what I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were way smarter than I'll ever be. In order to be a Pharisee, you had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I can't even read Leviticus, much less memorize it word for word. I mean, when you're reading your Bible in a year, that's the one you skip. I read it, I swear, Jesus. It was on my YouVersion. You just hit the little green at the bottom and skip it, don't you? Because Leviticus is tough. But in order to be a Pharisee, you had to memorize all five of those books, word for word, okay? To be a Pharisee, you gave a tithe. You gave 10% of your money to God. To be a Pharisee, you loved God. The Pharisee, we always think, you know, because Jesus rebuked them, he kicked them around. He was like, yeah, you Pharisees, yeah. They loved God, the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They loved God. They did. So let me get into the Word here. John 3, 1 through 7. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus said, man, thank you so much for giving me the compliments. I appreciate this greatly. No, Jesus turns and says, you're going to hell, Nicodemus. It's basically what he says right here. Because what Jesus replied with, because Jesus only replies with the truth. He is full of grace and truth. So that's all he can speak is grace and truth. He cannot tell a lie because he's God and he can't. So Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So here's a man who didn't just read his Bible, but he memorized it. Here's a man who gave faithfully his tithe. Here's a man who prayed. Here's a man who attended church regularly. How many of you attend church regularly? Well, I'm glad we've got six people that are here every Sunday. Hey, just so you guys know, it's okay to raise your hand for me. I say it every time I get up here. It's okay to shake your head no. It's okay to shake your head yes. I'm going to ask you questions, and I would love a response, okay? If you don't respond, I will randomly pick someone out of the audience and hand you the microphone and make you respond. Because that's just the way I roll. I've got a button on. I can do what I want. This is a serious, serious situation today. It is the most serious situation in your entire life. It's today. It's today. So, Nicodemus, I don't know that word. Nicodemus said, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? It's a good question, isn't it? He said, you got to be born again. And Jesus said, what? I mean, Nicodemus said, what? How can a man be born again? I can't go back into my mom's womb. I'm like 60. So how can a man be born again? That's a great question for a dude that knows so much. He didn't just go, huh? He asked a question. How is this possible, Jesus, that I be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. The water is the natural birth. You have to be born naturally, first of all. And then the Spirit is the spiritual rebirth. Humans are reproduced only by human life. Is Ron in the room? So first service, every time I read, I wiggle my foot. So Ron called me out on it first service, and I just caught myself doing that. So don't think nothing of it. It just happens, okay? Me and Ron have worked together for 6 years. He knows most of my quirks. Like when I paint, I wiggle. So we're standing out front, and Ron's doing this at me. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, reading the word. Whatever, man. I love you guys. Yeah. That's what family does. They know each other, right? Family knows each other. That's okay that he knows me like that, because I want you guys to know me. I want you guys to know my personal life. You know why? Because I want to know yours. I want to be part of your family, and I want you to be part of my family. That isn't just sitting here. That's getting to know each other personally. So when you see me, you say to me, why are you doing that? But anyway, let me get back to this. It's all right, I had like an extra 10 minutes for our service. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. He didn't give us an option there. He didn't say if you want to. He didn't say maybe. He said in order to go to heaven, you must be born again. It's a must. It's a necessity, because there's no other way. There's no other way. So here's a man who did all the right things, and Jesus turns and said, let me tell you the truth, Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you won't spend eternity with me. I know that you go to church. I know that you read your Bible. I know that you give money, but that is completely irrelevant to our way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Good works will not get you to heaven. Good works will send you to hell. There's such a difference in good works and God works. See, I want to be doing God's work, not just good works. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Man, these folks was doing the work of the church, wasn't they? They was casting out demons. They were Sunday school teachers. They were preachers who stood on the stage. But they didn't know Jesus, because they were doing good things, but not God's things. Because you can do all the good things that you think you should. See, I used to be that guy who did nothing good. Used to. But see, when I was born again, everything changes. Some of us in here, we've been saved. I asked the guy this last week. I like to ask questions. I like to ask questions. So I asked the guy this last week. I said, man, tell me about your salvation experience. Because it's an experience. I said, tell me about your salvation experience. You know what he told me? He's Southern Baptist. How many of you say, when somebody asks about your salvation experience, your experience with the one true living God, you say, I go to Believers Community Church? How many of us say that? See, because it's kind of like a wedding. When me and my wife got married, I might not always remember the exact date, right, Terry? I might forget my anniversary, but I'll never forget the event. So see, when I was born again, I might not remember the exact date. It was somewhere around September the 22nd of 2006. I might not remember the exact date, but I'll never forget the event. Because when Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit in me to live in me, everything changed. It wasn't some little magic prayer. There was a drastic difference in me. You know why? Because I died that day. Because I died and Christ raised a new me. So see, when you're born again, everything changes. So it's a simple question this morning. Have you been born again? Do you still fight against the same things over and over? See, because when I was a little kid, I had an uncle who was a preacher. And the enemy loves to trick us. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. So my uncle was a preacher, and we all went up to the altar and said a prayer, and we got baptized. I wasn't born again. My entire life, I lived for the devil. I drank, I did dope, I cussed, and I wasn't even a sailor. It was a horrible, horrible life that I lived. It was obvious that I wasn't born again. So, If he can make people that are prophesying and casting out demons believe the lie that they're born again, what about you that come to church and when you were five said a prayer, but you never had no life that showed Christ? Why do you believe the lie that you've been born again? This is a game-changing question. This is heaven or hell. This is your eternity that we're talking about today. This is life or death. And I'm not talking about in a car wreck. I'm talking about forever, eternity, this is. It's not by works that we're saved. It has nothing to do with works, good or bad. Quit, okay, I quit all this stuff. I'm better than I used to be. I don't cook dope anymore. It doesn't matter. There's only one way to heaven. Period. One way. One way. Have you been born again? You must be born again. So Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. I'm trying not to wiggle my foot. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. I got a question. Is many more than few? This is a yes. Yes. Many is more than few, isn't it? So there's many who choose that way that is wide and few that find the narrow gate. So there'll be more people in hell than in heaven, is what this says, correct? There'll be more people who go to church in hell than there will be prisoners in prison. There'll be more people in prison going to heaven than there will be church pew people. Because you know why? Because they had an event with Christ. Something they'll never forget. Because they humbled themselves and He lifted them up. They didn't. Their works was over. They knew that what they'd done did. So we have to come to a place to where we realize that it has nothing to do with our works. It's only by grace. Broad and wide is the gate for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. I've heard so many people tell me that it's the easiest thing ever after they got saved. It's not what it says right here. Getting saved is easy because it's grace by faith. But once I get there, see, the Bible says that we're clay in the potter's hands. So think about that potter's wheel as God is shaping us and molding us. He's applying pressure. He's reshaping me into the image of His Son. So when He applies pressure, it's not comfortable all the time. Sometimes it's downright uncomfortable to do the things that God asks me to do. Good things kind of go easy, don't they? It's okay when you see this guy with the sign says, hey, we'll work for food. You don't want to really take him to the job site. Just give him 20 bucks, right? You don't really want to put him in your car, so you do the good thing. What about if God told you to empty your bank account? That's a God thing. My God's a big God. So let's step up into His world for a minute. When God tells you to go talk to that person that you can't stand because of what they did to you, but He says, go up and say, hey, you know what? I forgive you. What about you've been born again, but all you do is backbite, gossip, and stir up strife? That's acts of the flesh, not the spirit. But you've been born again, correct? Think about your own life for a minute. Examine yourself. Have you been born again? It's a tough question to sit up here and preach to people that have been sitting in church their entire life. I'm like, God, really? You talk about preaching to the choir. What about the choir leader? It's hard to ask, have you been born again, to people that go to church and you see their face every Sunday. First service, we had a young lady, I'll say, in the back. She's probably in her late 60s, who's been going to the church longer than I have, who got up to be born again. But yet you want to sit in there and say, I go to church, I was raised in church, I read my Bible and I pray. That's not what I'm talking about. That's works. I'm talking about, have you been born again? So the only way we're born again is by grace. I want to talk about grace for a minute. Grace, I'm going to give you an acrostic for it, okay? Because acrostics help me to remember things. Grace, the G in grace stands for God's gift. Grace is a gift. Romans 3:24 tells us, yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. See, God isn't going to judge two people for the same sin. So when I accept Jesus Christ, He bore my sin. So He won't judge me for it. It's the gift of grace through His Son. And I had a list from me to the back door. But you know, when I got born again, things changed. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I still slip up. I taught my daughter the S word a while back. Oops. Just because I'm born again doesn't mean I'm perfect. The perfection is found in Christ. I make mistakes, but here's what I know when I'm born again, that if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm still going to make mistakes, but I have a God who's perfect, a God who loves me enough to forgive me. So we're cruising down the road. I wasn't on my phone. I'm never on my phone when I drive. But the car in front of me, I lied, see? God forgive me. I was on my phone and the car in front of me stopped, so I locked up the brakes and yelled the S word. And my daughter said, thanks, Dad, for teaching me that one too. So then a few weeks ago, we grow in Christ though, right? Things change. So a few weeks ago, I'm down here washing the bank. I like to pressure wash. I like to see old things made new, things cleaned. It's kind of like my business. God's given me a remodeling business. So I get to go into an old house that's worthless and make it worth something. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did in my life. Exactly what He did. So I like to start on the inside of the house where people can't see the work happening. And then one day they see the inside, the out. It's all been redone. Because people didn't see what God's doing on the inside necessarily of us. So I'm down here washing the bank and I'm pressure washing. I'm about 60 feet up in the air in a lift. So when you're in a lift about 60 feet, you're trapped. There's nothing you can do. There's nowhere you can go. So I spray into a hole on the bank and about 1,000 hornets come out of that hole. I didn't yell the S word. I said, Lord Jesus, protect me. And I went to yelling His name instead of the flesh. Didn't get stung one time. They went all around me. They landed all around me. Now, if I'd yelled the S word, I might have got stung. But that's just the difference that Christ makes in us. As we walk with Him longer and as we grow, things change. It's easier. My automatic default now is to do the right thing. It takes a lot more outward pressure to make me do the wrong thing. A lot more. It's going to take a serious, I'm perplexed but not crushed. Persecuted but not. It takes a lot more outward pressure for me to do the wrong thing now. Because, not of anything I've done, but because of the One who lives in me. It's because Christ lives in me now, because born again. So grace, it's God's gift. 1 Peter 1:13, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the grace of salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. It's a gift. It's not by works. It's not by what I do or don't do. It's a gift from God. The R in grace, it's received by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Nicodemus did all the right things. You know where I think the enemy kind of convinces us of a lie? When we first hear about Christ, we get this little head knowledge because we hear of His love and we hear how much He loves us and we think that's when we've been born again. But that's just a little conception that starts in our mind. There's not been a heart change whatsoever. So I believe the enemy convinces us that we're born again and saved at 10, 9, 36, whatever, when we hear about Christ. But there's not actually been any change. We actually haven't received that grace by faith. A lot of us in this room, we heard of the Christ. We saw people who have experienced the love, so we think we've been born again. That was just a seed that was sown. Today the water's being poured on it so God can give an increase today. So think about that for a minute. When I heard about Him, man, I was like, yes! But I hadn't submitted to Him. In any shape, fashion, or form had I submitted my will to His. I got a little goosebumps that day, you know what I mean? When I first heard about Him. But it's a whole lot different when you experience that love, when you're born again. Everything changes. That old corrupt way of thinking dies. We receive it by faith. Philippians 3:9. And become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. Depends on faith, not works. It doesn't matter if you've been in church your whole life. Made me cry when she got up out of the back. Because the devil has so many people convinced that because they go to church, they're going to heaven. Has so many people convinced because they don't do drugs anymore, because they quit sleeping around, because they quit watching porn, that they're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with works. Nothing. And a lot of us in here are better today than we were yesterday. Absolutely. We're doing some good things. But we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So it's received by faith. It's God's gift. It's received by faith. It's accepted by God's love. Romans 5:8. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, when I went to John 3:16 11 years ago, I didn't quit doing anything. I smoked crack until the day I went. I couldn't quit. For I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is right, but I just can't carry it out, Paul said in Romans 7. I didn't quit doing anything to come to Christ, but when I was truly born again, everything changed. My desires began to line up with God's will. Are your desires lining up with God's will? This is an examination this morning, a self-examination. You know when you start feeling sick, you kind of Google what these symptoms are? Whew, it's horrible. Well, this morning, why don't you just think about your own? I'm not a fruit inspector. Think about your own lives. Think about your heart. How does your heart this morning react to a message like this? How's it reacting? Are you born again? Ephesians 2:5. That even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Only by God's grace that we can be saved. So many people try to do the right thing. Try to do the right thing. It's not enough. I love this one. Christ paid the price. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. So for grace, it's a gift. It's received by faith. We're accepted by God's love, and He paid the price. See, and so many times we think that we have to make the changes. God is the one who makes the changes in me. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God who began the good work within me will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. See, it's God that's doing the work. We think that we have to do all this. I hear people tell me all the time, I can't go to church. When I quit smoking weed, I'll go to church. I'll tell you like I tell them on Friday night, I don't care if you're high or not. I couldn't quit doing it. I had to come to Christ for that change. We're trying to change ourselves. I could not change myself. I can't fix myself, and I can't fix you. There's one, and His name's Jesus. It's an everlasting gift, too. It's an everlasting gift. You know, I've got a dear brother in Christ who feels the same way that I do about this. Because, see, this is a life or death situation. Today, I'm talking to people who have been in church their whole life. I'm talking to people who have taught Sunday school. I'm talking to people who grew up in church. But it's one thing. Are you born again? There's a brother of mine who gave me this belt buckle. And it says, born again. And this meant everything to him because this means everything to him. You see how tarnished it is and worn? With Christ, it's not like that. We're made new. It's an everlasting gift. I want to read you a letter he wrote. He wrote me a letter when he gave me this. Are you born again? This is a token of an old buckle. It's corroded and decaying, but the meaning of the two words on it are forever established in our Father's heart. So this morning I want to ask you, Are those two words ever established in our Father's heart for you? Have you truly been born again? If not, if you can't say for sure that you've been born again, why would you not settle it today? Because you've been in church your whole life? Because you're the manager over here? Because everybody thinks and looks at you in this way? It doesn't matter. Today, if you can't for sure say, I've been born again, let's settle it today. Okay? Every head bowed, every eye closed for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, if you can't say for sure that you know you've been born again, will you slip your hand up for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's hands across the room today that say that. Thank you. See, today is the day that we need to settle this. Today's the day that we need to know on October the 15th so we have a date. Is there anybody else? Slip your hands up high for me so I can see you. Hold your hands up high for me. If today you need to settle, thank you. Hey, today, keep your heads bowed for a minute. Today, if you need to settle today and know for a fact that today you're born again, I want you to come up front. Pastor Joe's going to pray with you. Don't let fear keep you from doing this because this is a game-changing question. So today, if you raised your hand for me, will you come up front with Pastor Joe? Every head bowed, every eye closed for a minute. Come on up. Come up front for me. Come up here with Pastor Joe. He's going to pray with you. Everybody look up at me for a minute. It's okay. We're not scared. We're not doing this. We're not going to let fear keep us from settling today that we're born again. There's people in here that are standing up here right now that have probably been in church their whole life. Is there anybody else today that needs to settle and know for a fact that you've been born again today? Because today can seal your eternity, heaven or hell. Okay. As we worship today, Pastor Joe's going to pray with them. So today, as you settle in your heart that you've been born again, let's just worship. As Ashley leads us this morning in a song, it's a beautiful song. So can we get to our feet and worship this morning as Joe prays with them?